Hi, I'm Shalina Tobin, aka Posh Nosh Gal, and today I'm joined by the brilliant chef, Adam Handling. Adam's rise to the top of the culinary tree has been nothing short of incredible. Bursting onto the scene in Scotland, having been Gleneagles' first ever trainee chef, he secured the role of the Fairmont Hotel Group's youngest ever head chef in 2011. Over the next decade, Adam was to win a host of industry accolades and now runs five of his own fantastic food and drink venues in London, all before his 32nd birthday. Let me welcome the incredibly accomplished Chef Adam Handling. Hi, Adam, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. So I've got to start with these brilliant cooking videos that you're doing on Instagram. I'm absolutely loving them.
Thank you, yeah, keeps me busy.
Yeah, and I mean, they're fantastic, and I've been learning so much from them. Do you think you'll continue to do them once we're all back to work again?
Well, we've got three more videos or four more videos to show, and then that's actually it. There's going to be no more. I had to get rid of my house due to the virus and keep all my staff paid. So I got rid of that and moved into one where the kitchen is super tiny. So I tried to do one in the kitchen, and it just didn't feel the same. So there'll be something, but it might be done a little bit differently. I'm trying to find a friend with a kitchen I can use.
Oh, what about using the kitchen at your restaurant?
I tried that one, but it just didn't have the same feel. You know, you wanted to make it more relaxed for people right at home. In a big intimidating kitchen, you're like, oof, that's a little bit, it didn't look the same, didn't have the same feel.
You're welcome to use my kitchen. We're in South London, not far from you. So welcome anytime. I'll get awesome. Some like actual real-time cooking tips from you.
It means I can cook your lunch as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So what else are you keeping yourself busy with during lockdown? I mean, it sounds like you've been incredibly busy, and that's been quite a stressful time. What else are you doing?
So we're working with a couple of charities to do cooking. So we've pitched about 1,000 meals a week is our target, and we're achieving that quite well for vulnerable people, for NHS, for the homeless and them sort of stuff. Will be distributed by about six different outlets a week, and you know, working with Felix Project, which I love to do that. It's they're a huge passion of mine. To combat food waste.
And you've worked with the Felix Project for quite some time, haven't you?
It's a charity which I think is a pioneer in the UK of what it's doing. You know, combating food waste. No one likes food waste, especially me. Yeah. And what they're doing, you know, catering for vulnerable people or people that can't provide for their children and that sort of stuff, with things that we all throw away willy-nilly. And it's an eye-opener into what amazing work they do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've seen you speak about them on Instagram, and you're doing quite a lot with them at the moment, which is really, really brilliant. So you're creating new recipes for your restaurants as well at the moment?
Yes. So obviously we need to adapt. So our plan's put in place where as soon as the government says, boom, you can be back open again, the plan is in place. The concepts are changing slightly. The menus are all changing completely for all of our outlets. And it's something which is very exciting. You know, we've been trying to keep the staff engaged as much as possible, not working, but just engaged, you know, constant Zoom chats to see how they're all getting on and what's inspiring them now. And you kind of change slightly your perception of life. One little virus manages to cause a massive ripple in the industry, and then you change your, you know, I finally got to spend time with my son. Yeah. Even though I live with him, I work every day. I had dinner with him for the first time like 2 months ago. It's just like the guys too, and I haven't had dinner with him in 2 years because I work all the time. So the, you know, work-life balance, changing the dynamics of my restaurant group.
Yeah, so you touched on creating the new recipes earlier on. What is the process from concept to creation?
It's very easy and very hard to do. It's like when you plate natural. It's very difficult but very easy to do. So it needs to attach itself to a story. there's a story attached to what we're creating, then it's something we can work on and to create it into a dish. We never cook plates of food because we think the average person wants to eat that thing. Right. I never do. It has to connect to me, it has to connect to the team, and then we make it. So fundamentally, create something which you're passionate about at the moment,
yeah,
and then test the dish out. Amazing. That sounds really mumbo jumbo and craziness, but you know, you've been to my Covent Garden restaurant, every dish is very personal to the team who works there in particular. And I think that connection you have when you eat it,
yeah,
you connect to something, and that connection and involvement is the foundations of how you create a menu.
Yeah, and you do that really well, because I felt that all the way through the courses at the restaurant. So it's definitely coming through. And if you're revising the whole thing, it's going to be amazing. I can't wait. So
we had the opportunity for 2 months not doing anything, so your mind is going berserk.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, let's talk about the current situation for a moment. Unfortunately, there will be many victims in the restaurant industry because of COVID-19. You talked about your home, which is, I mean, that's devastating. Are your restaurants and bars safe from closure?
Not particularly at all. My team is everything to me, and I will do anything I can to protect them. Hence me get moving out of my house and moving somewhere else just to afford the rent, just to afford the salaries in that 1 month is something which I would do in a heartbeat again and again. You know, without them, I'd have nothing. So the fundamentally first part is to make sure the staff are protected.
Yeah.
And then in terms of the way the government want to work, if they want to speed up, stop being smart and not sentencing the entire hospitality sector to death, and do something, then I think we'll be okay. But if they don't, and it continues on the same path it is now, I think 50% of my operations might go, if not more.
Right, and what is it that you think that they should do? What would really help you?
A rent freeze. You know, I am fortunate to have more than one site, but I'm also hit with the other end of the brush where I'm still paying rent on five sites in London, which is crazy. Okay, we've saved rent, the rates. Rates are a fraction. The rent, you know, you're talking 3 months is a lot of money of doing it. Some of our landlords have been lovely and says, okay, we'll freeze it. Mm-hmm. Some of them have said, okay, we'll postpone it, but we'll just add it to next year's rent. And the other ones are saying, give me my money now. We're a business as well, because they're all different landlords. And that's the one where it's just like, oh, really? No, the staff come first, yeah, and then we'll think about paying that. So for me, the first and fundamental one is that, because that means we can keep businesses open and staff employed. Mm-hmm. And then the second one is to prolong furlough. It's a great help the government do, mm-hmm, but you cannot open a business straight away like we did 3 months ago, like it was operating 3 months ago. So you've got the staff count for that sort of operation. Bringing them all back with, you know, removing some tables for spatial awareness. The revenue's not going to be as high at all. We're looking at about 40% drop. We need to make sure we have the same staffing level. So a prolonged furlough so that some of the team can still stay away.
Yeah.
And then come back in 1 or 2 months when business is a little bit busier.
Yeah.
It's the second one. I would say they're the two main ones.
Okay. So how do you feel about the restaurant, the future of the restaurant industry, and how do you think things will change fundamentally moving forward once we open?
I think 40% of hospitality is going to go and down the pan straight away, which is terrible. Really, really, really bad. And I feel super sorry for specific restaurants that have had not long to open, so that they have no support as well, not even furlough. You know, that's the sort of one which I think is pretty disgusting. But, you know, governmental grants that everyone's boasting about, 300-odd million coming into the sector to do bailouts. What does that even mean? I've been rejected from everything because I'm more than 3 years old and my shareholding is more than my debt. Like, are you kidding me? a company that has less debt than it does the other way isn't eligible for a bloody loan. It's things like that. They put rules to get these loans, which most people aren't eligible for.
Yeah.
And I'm an independent restaurant group. You know, I'm fortunate to own it. We've got shareholders and we've got people that have invested into it. And we're all going to lose everything if they don't do something.
Well, you're incredibly ambitious. You've already achieved a huge amount and you're in your early 30s. What is it that really drives you?
What drives me? I want to be the best I possibly can. You know, I've always been the youngest one, and therefore you feel like you've got something to prove a little bit more. And for me, it's always let's produce this plate of food the best we possibly can to excite people. You know, it's not about being the world's famous chef or anything like that. That I don't really care about. But it's about when someone comes to that restaurant and goes, "Holy hell, what the hell is this? It's amazing." That experience drives me. I, you know, I want that. It's super fulfilling. So that's what drives me.
And what was your "I really want to be a chef" moment?
Probably about 9 months into working in Gleneagles. I didn't want to be a chef. I didn't join this industry to become a chef. I just did it so I didn't need to stay at school. So I got an apprenticeship. But it wasn't until I was super inspired by the team of a service. You know, that type of a service was so electric, so terrifying, but it was something you thought, okay, this is a cool club. This little 16-year-old boy standing in a kitchen where there's 110 chefs going absolutely bonkers in Gleneagles, and it was a rough kitchen. You're thinking, this is magical, and I wanted to be a part of it. And then I worked hard, and then I got to taste things and be inspired by stuff that I didn't like mushrooms. And it was my chef says, "I don't really care if you don't like mushrooms. You need to taste them to make sure they're perfect for the guest. This is how I want them." Everyone comes out. And I'm like, "But I don't like it." And I tasted it. And I'm like, "This is amazing. You like mushrooms." And he says, "Yes, what you've had in your previous experiences of things you don't like, you have to keep trying again and trying again, because there's one variety you're going to enjoy. And then you work out why you did and why you didn't like it. Yeah. And then you just hone in on the things of the reasons why." And then all of a sudden, a fussy eater now eats absolutely everything because everything just tasted fantastic. And yeah, that was it. It was a bit like, wow, yeah, okay, boom, I want to be a part of this club.
Yeah, my son absolutely hates mushrooms. So I'm going to need that recipe because I've been trying to get him to eat mushrooms in so many different ways and he's just not having it. So who is it that you turn to for advice and inspiration?
I turn to Stephen, our group chef. He's one of my best friends as well. He's worked for me for 12 years. He's the guy that I turn to. Even if I just need a hug or, you know, just bawl my eyes out and whatever. Him, biggest inspiration ever. He can cook phenomenally and he's just a genuine nice person. We met in Malmaison in Newcastle. Okay. So I started there as a sous chef. He started there as a commis. And then after that, we just went everywhere together. Awesome. And from a guy being a commis, me being a sous. And then now he runs the food side of my entire group.
Excellent. Well, many of your team members have been with you for years, which is actually a great testament to you. How do you motivate them and keep them so loyal?
There's all of my restaurants are run by chefs who've been with me a long time. East London, so Frog Hoxton, Jamie, he's been with me, I think, 7 years. Johnny, at a Manning Chelsea in the Cadogan Hotel, has been with me 10 years. And then obviously, Stephen, the group there. And Cleverson's been with me a long time as well, and then the Sues. I think if you know your path, if you know the direction of where you want to go, and there's no this is the path, this is the journey we're taking.
Yeah.
Do you want to be a part of this and help us achieve it? People get excited because they've got things to do. Their minds are working about, okay, yeah, I believe in this as well. I'm going to move forward. And the other one is allow them to become creative themselves. Let them have an opinion. As soon as you put a padlock on someone's mouth, they get that frustrated and then they just leave.
Yeah.
So for me, I've always been one where you've worked for me for so long. You know how I run a business. You know how I operate. This is the circle. 50% is the group. Yeah. It is what it is. Butter, cheese, donuts. The other 50%, show me yourself, yeah. and pull out of them. Sometimes they come out, you know, kicking and screaming because they don't want to. But when you force them to really become creative and bring out their hidden awesomeness, they then get more excited because they own certain part of it. You know, like when they created a dish with you, instead of them saying, "Yes, chef, this tastes delicious," they'd be like, "How about a little bit more acidity?" And then we all taste together. Yeah, you're right. No, actually, yeah. And then all of a sudden, it's a majority vote. Yeah. If I create a dish and everyone tasted it and they say something else, and I'm not the majority, the dish gets changed. But I think it's the big fact is that they're allowed an opinion and they're allowed to be creative.
Yeah.
So inspiration and a goal, them two things will keep your team forever. And no, be very honest.
Yeah, that's amazing advice for anyone thinking of building their own team. So you clearly have great relationships with other chefs as well. And I remember a collaboration with you and Vivek Singh at the Cinnamon Club. It was a few years ago. It was a fantastic evening and the food was just, it was absolutely brilliant.
I love his food. It's absolutely delicious.
Yeah, well, both of you together is honestly, it was like being in heaven. It was just, it was phenomenal. Which other chefs do you collaborate with in that way?
Atel Kutcher. We did a collaboration as well. When was it? A few months ago. That was incredible. Again, the flavors. Because I don't do that type. I don't do Indian food.
Right.
So for it's what both them chefs do. For me, it's brand new.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoy it, but I don't understand it so well. So when I'm doing a collaboration with a cuisine that I don't know, I learn.
And so then that's the,
hugely. And because you're in the kitchen, you know, you've got your little spoon and you're tasting everything. You know, you're speaking to the chefs and you're like, how the hell did you get that tasting so delicious? And then you learn, you adapt your recipes, not by copying, but just understanding that this specific herb, this specific acidity, you know, works super well. So I love that. But yeah, we've done one with James Cochran as well, phenomenal chef. I like chefs that cook with bags of flavor. You know, I don't like pretentious cooking at all. If it just looks pretty and doesn't taste exciting, it doesn't excite me. Quite a bit. We're planning on doing a lot more when all this is over.
Brilliant.
To really allow people to use our kitchens if they've lost theirs or they need some exposure. And they want to go down our private rooms or our East London. Come in, take over the whole place. I don't want any money for it. Showcase your style. You know, that sort of stuff.
That's amazing, actually, to open up your own restaurant. That's such a wonderful thing to do.
We've been doing it all year in East London every Tuesday, I think it is, where we allow chefs. They have two different packages. So we do one where you can come over, take over the whole restaurant, and I don't charge you anything at all. You take all the revenue, you sell your tickets, but you have a kitchen to be able to cook for people and show them. So for instance, being at Chefs in London or ones further afield that want to get into the London market, mm-hmm. You can go to restaurants where they charge you. No, mine's closed on that day. Yeah. Gives them a platform to showcase themselves. We need to look after everybody in this industry together.
Whose restaurant do you find yourself visiting again and again?
The Greenhouse. The Greenhouse is my favorite restaurant in the world, and it's in London. I think it's absolutely incredible.
I've got to visit that one.
Oh man, you won't be disappointed. I had like a top three restaurants that hadn't changed. Mm-hmm. The first time I ate in the Greenhouse, it went straight to number one, out past them all. And then I went back because you're thinking, it was that good the first time. Is it going to be good the second time? Or did Chef Alex, who I followed for ages, I used to go to Helen de Rose because he was a chef there, even though I'd never met him. I just loved his food. But I went again and again and again, and it was just perfection after perfection after perfection. And really what you want to eat. That was the main thing as well. It was what you wanted to eat.
Wow.
For me, that's one of the best restaurants in the world.
Well, you've got that one on my list now. I've got to go there. Is it a Michelin starred or is it not?
Two.
Oh, it's got two.
Why it's not got three is beyond me.
Well, I'm often confused with the way Michelin stars are awarded, actually. I visit many restaurants and, you know, and I feel absolutely certain about one that it would have a Michelin star and it doesn't. And it really baffles me. What's your opinion on the Michelin star status?
I'm not going to lie, I want one. There's no doubt about it. We've been pushing super hard for Michelin star in our Covent Garden Frog for since it opened. And us not getting it, we don't blame Michelin. We blame ourselves. Work harder, be stricter, be more refined, be more consistent. And in a way, not having it is making us push further. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. But obviously for the team, I want to get a star in this place. When we didn't get one last year, Cleverson, our head chef here, who is the most stern-faced person you can ever meet, you know, he shows no emotion. He's very to the book, very strict. I watched it on my phone in a taxi from Chelsea restaurant to Covent Garden, and I got here. And then he came to me and he just gave me a hug. The first time he's ever shown me any actual physical emotion. And he says, "I'm sorry I let you down." I said, "Dude, don't be bloody silly. It's not you. It's not you at all. It's the entire us." And I know why we didn't get it. I changed the menu the first quarter of last year, because we always do it in January after we're closed for Christmas. And I think I pushed it too much at the beginning. So the team found it quite tough. I found it quite tough. But the visions of what we wanted to do were too abrupt for that point. We should have phased it. Now we learn from the mistakes and we phase. Mm-hmm. And for me, the reason we didn't get a star last year was my fault, not theirs. I pushed the menu too hard at the beginning and instead of phasing it. I wanted one this year, but I don't know what's going to happen with the Michelin Guide after this virus.
Yeah, well, to be completely frank with you, I'm amazed that you don't have one either, because I do visit a lot of places, like I said, and your restaurant blew me away. The food was absolutely stunning. The flavors were brilliant. It was creative. It was casual. It was still innovative. And it just really surprised me. And it's not often that I'm surprised about whether someone's got one or not. But yeah, that surprised me. So what is your secret to a great dinner party?
Cook everything in advance.
Yeah.
A dinner party is about hospitality, is about being a great host. If I'm doing a dinner party, just because I'm the chef, you really think I'm going to be spending all that time in the kitchen rather than enjoying a glass of wine with my people I'm eating with? Not a chance in hell. So just be smart with what you're cooking. You know, if you're going to do something well, a beef Wellington, make it a day before. You know, just cook it there and then. You know, have your potatoes done, your vegetables done. So all you're doing is just the finishing parts of things. And make it where it's involving, you know. What I do when I'm doing dinner parties, or mostly it's things that I'm going to be using a barbecue when I'm doing one, because I love that flavor. When it comes to cooking, everyone's bloody helping me, whether or not you're a chef or not. You know, the prep has all been done previously, but the finishing of everything, yeah, one person's on the barbecue cooking the meat, the other one's on the other barbecue cooking the fish. Someone's, you know, dressing the salads and things like that. So yeah, prepare everything and make it involving.
And if you could invite anyone to your dinner party, who would it be?
Anyone to my dinner party? Dead or alive?
Dead or alive.
My grandmother, okay. 100%. She passed away just before I became a chef, and she was one of the ones that truly believed in me. Michael Jackson. I'd love his music. He'd definitely be one of them. Who else would I invite to? I've been asked that question before, but I can't remember what I've normally said.
It's all right. I mean, we've got two great people.
Let's say that. And then the rest of my mate. Yeah.
And what would you cook? What would you cook for date night?
For date night? I'm a one pot wonder kind of man. Like, you know, I love a good hot pot. Date night. Or a Wellington. I think a Wellington is whenever you want to show off. And plus, it's super easy because you make it a day before. A Wellington of some sort, for sure.
Awesome. Always love a good Wellington. So what advice would you give to your 20-year-old self?
what advice would I give to my 20-year-old self? slow down a bit.
Slow down?
Yes, yeah. I opened up many restaurants a short period of time. And if I did it a little bit slower, spread it out, when this virus happened, I would be in a better financial situation. So yeah, slow down and plan.
Right.
Don't just find an idea and run with it. That's the one thing I'm bad at. I probably still won't follow my own advice.
Well, it's because you're so ambitious, so you just want to go. So tell me something about yourself that I couldn't possibly know.
A lot of people know a lot of stuff. I'm not too sure. I don't know. Come back. I'll come back to me on that one.
You'll come back to me on that one. So you're obviously a highly motivated individual. What can we expect to see next from Adam Handling, and what's your ultimate ambition?
My ultimate ambition is to have a restaurant brand that chefs, when they leave, it's like, yes, I've learned something. That's one of his restaurants. That's my ambition. I want to have a training ground in my restaurant group where people want to be working there and learning, because you know, we use the whole animal. We do zero waste. We do innovative food. I want to be a pioneer of British food. Not saying I want to be the best at all. There's 100 million more chefs better than me, but I want to be a part of that one that puts the UK on the map. Oh, British food in another country. Oh yes, have you heard of the Frog restaurants? You know, I want that. I want it to be like, we're creating Britain's food, we're putting Britain on the map, and we're having fun while we're doing it.
Amazing. Well, you're already doing that really, really well.
You may know it, but I love KFC. Like, I love KFC. I would eat it every day if I could. Maybe people know that, but yeah. And I got very excited. Yes. Oh, yeah, you do know.
Yeah,
KFC, they work phenomenally well together. But yeah, I love that.
Both my favorites as well. Well, it's been amazing chatting with you. Thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. It's been great.
And guys, if you want to follow Adam Handling on Instagram, he's at Chef Adam Handling, and I'm at Posh Nosh Girl.